Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist, Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
Welcome to the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris. This is the show that aims to make you better 1% every day. When you add that up, you get 365 days of making yourself better, which is, what's that math equation, Pat? Do you know what it is?
365% better.
Yes, that's exactly right. Special forces, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what it is.
Very smart. Anyway, got my man, Coach Pat, back on.
Right on.
From NeuroAthlete, Z-Health Master Trainer, as well as personal trainer. And I had a question for Pat today.
Let's hear it.
Do you need over an hour and a half to 2 hours to get in a good workout?
No, you do not.
No, what?
You just That's what we all
a lot
feel,
of
though,
hearts
right?
out there, man.
Yeah.
A lot of hearts out there.
Well, but I mean, I can't tell you how many people who I've heard them say before, like, man, if I'm not doing, you know, at least an hour in the gym, I feel like I didn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean, I remember a buddy of mine years ago, you know, saying that,
mm-hmm.
And now after, you know, years of experience and learned smarter ways to do things and harder ways to do things, I realize, man, if you need over an hour to get a workout in, you are not doing something correctly.
You are clearly not working hard enough, actually.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, so when we think about that, of course, it all depends what kind of workout you're doing, right? Are you mm-hmm. predominantly doing a lot of strength training workouts? Are you doing more aerobic-based stuff? Are you doing a mix of it? Whatever. I mean, they can take different lengths of time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, it does not take that long to get a really good, solid workout, even in just basic strength training, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for strength and hypertrophy and building muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing it correctly.
Right. Absolutely. So when you're looking to go in the gym, I always tell people, I said, there's two things you can do, right? You can either work out hard or you can work out long, but you can't do both. There's just no way you can do both at the same time.
Right.
Right. Because people get intensity, right? A lot of people look at intensity as a percentage of their one rep max, right?
Right.
But when you and I are kind of talking about intensity during this short duration, it's how hard are you actually, is your perceived exertion.
Exactly, right? I mean, so let's use a deadlift as an example, right?
Yes, sir.
Got one bar, because you're familiar with it. Right. So let's say you got one bar
mm-hmm.
that has your three rep max on it.
Right.
Right. And then over to, you got another bar sitting there. It's got your five rep max. And so you go to deadlift on that bar that has the heavier load, which is your three rep max,
mm-hmm.
and you do two reps. And you go over to the bar that has your five rep max and you do five reps.
Right.
Your intensity was greater with the less load, right? The less weight, because you actually pushed it to an effort level that was at max.
At maximum effort.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just about the load itself mm-hmm. and how much you're lifting. It's about how much effort you're putting in to that lift.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what, when I switched my paradigm from being a power lifter, which, you know, I mean, obviously that's going to take a little bit more time, right? Because now we're actually talking about a training regimen. So when you're talking about power lifting, right, takes time to put the weight on the bar, take the weight off the bar.
Right. Right?
Then you have your 5 minute rest in between sets right. a lot of times.
Yeah.
But that's developing a skill.
Yes.
Right. So that's, yes. that's a little bit differently than going in and doing muscle building work.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're power lifting,
mm-hmm.
there's one specific goal, actually three, you know, squat, deadlift and bench.
Squat,
right?
deadlift, bench.
But that goal is to move the most amount of weight you can possibly move one time,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the goal in powerlifting competition. So mm-hmm. then your training has to reflect you trying to do that? There's obviously modifications to that. You're doing sub max work most of the time, right? But it's still pretty high loads and, and near maximal work, right? And so in order to do that, like you're saying, you're training a skill. So if we just use one example, again, let's say deadlift, right? And so you, that neuromuscular skill, right? Your ability to of your brain and your nervous system to engage as much musculature as possible to do that really heavy load is a skill that has to be trained. And so in order to do that, you need the longer rest periods between efforts so that as much energy can reproduce as possible, because that is the one thing you're trying to do, that specific skill of a one rep display of strength.
Absolutely. Right? So when you're looking at that difference, then you might be in the gym a little bit longer. But that's not what we're talking about, right?
Right.
We're not talking about skill. We're talking about getting in, getting a good workout for the average person. So
yeah, the other 99%.
The other 99% of us, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I've switched to recently.
Yep.
Right. And my workouts are incredibly shorter, but I've built just as much, if not more, muscle mass.
I'd say more. Yeah.
He's like, say more. That's awesome. Yeah. And then not only that, but also strength increases almost weekly.
Right.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
Not just weight, right? But also you're looking at reps, right? You're looking at time, how long it takes between sets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you're constantly trying to break either weight or reps. And each week it just keeps going up. And this was originally called high intensity training.
Right.
Right. And can you give us a little history on high intensity training, how it works and why it goes against the sacred cow of volume?
Right. So high intensity training, or HIT, H-I-T, this would be different than what a lot of people might be familiar with from like doing work capacity or aerobic work of high intensity interval training, H-I-I-T.
Right.
A good way to train for specific goals, but outside of what we're talking about for, you know, building strength and muscle. So high intensity training, or HIT, really started with Arthur Jones, who is the inventor of the Nautilus machines. And this is, we're talking like late 60s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1960s. When I was born. Right. So late 60s. I
thought that's when you retired.
Right. Oh. So Arthur Jones, long story short, he had a really interesting career in life, but he was always an avid weightlifter. And he was also very, his real career was capturing animals and in Africa and flying them back to the United States for zoos.
Interesting.
And selling them. Yeah. He has his own pilot's license. He flew a big jumbo jet, like cargo jet. Yeah. This is what he really started doing. Right. But meanwhile, he has a great hobby of weightlifting, and right. But he's super intelligent, and he studies animals all the time and how they move and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So he starts to get into a little bit more of the physiology of how muscles work and things like that. And his very first machine, if people are familiar with the lat pullover machine, right?
I love that.
Where your elbows are locked into a pad and you're driving your elbows down and past your ribs.
So hard to find.
Yes. And so he invented that machine. That was his first real machine he built to isolate the lats. He loved pull-ups and chin-ups and things like that. But he's like, your grip and or your biceps will always be done before your lats will. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to find something where he could do that, right? And like doing dumbbell pullovers, you know, at least half that range of motion is basically unloaded, right? Mm-hmm. So he came up with a machine to do that, and he took it to like a Mr. Universe you know, they used to have like little, you know, practically carnivals around these Mr. Universe contests and stuff like that. A lot like today, we go to a big conference and they have, you know, areas where people can buy stuff related to whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So he brought there, got pretty popular, sold a few of them, started making more, bing, bam, boom, and Nautilus is born, right?
Right.
So the reason it was called Nautilus is because the cam mm-hmm. that then they were chains as opposed to like a cables, right?
Right.
That went around the pulleys. Instead of a round pulley, he used a cam, like a Nautilus shell shaped cam, which changed the strength profile while you're going through the range of motion mm-hmm. for whatever it was, whether for whatever exercise you were doing, a compound or a isolation exercise. Mm-hmm. And what he realized also through studying animals is lion's pretty muscular, but doesn't really do much most of the day. But when it does things very intensely.
Right.
So that's not the only reason things like gorillas and lions are very muscular, right? There's a little bit of genetics in there.
Just a little bit.
What he did realize that was that by doing a set to total muscular failure in good form, right? Not mm-hmm. jerking your form around, but in good form, was really all you needed to drive growth of strength and muscle.
One set?
Yes. Yeah.
Asinine. There's no way.
No way, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of how it began. And that was the Nautilus. If anybody's listening who remembers the old, when YMCAs had Nautilus machine circuits and stuff like that, they'd have like 10 or 12 machines. You mm-hmm. do one set on each one. And it's actually a really good program, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to what? You have to rest because that's when the muscle gets bigger and stronger is when you're resting. Mm-hmm. The training is only the stimulus to make that happen, mm-hmm. right? So this goes back and forth in the research, though, quite honestly. You know, there's research to say, hey, one set's not better. But what I often see in the research is they do one set or they do three sets and they go, oh, look, we got better results with three sets. But what they didn't do was the high intensity part.
It was actually fail.
Right, exactly. They just did where you feel, oh, man, this is getting hard, and then I stopped the set,
yep.
as opposed to truly going to total muscle failure.
That's exactly what I saw with Brad Schoenfeld.
Yeah.
Because he's the new gold standard for NSCA, and he's saying that, oh, high intensity training really doesn't work. You need more volume than you do just one set to failure. But you watch him, or you watch a subject, and it's not to failure.
No, he's not even, no.
Not even close
right.
to failure.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a smart dude.
Very smart guy.
A lot of great studies, but they really don't know how to apply it because most people have not really done that. Now, I will say this is the hard part about high-intensity training.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to truly dig deep. And what I like about it is mm-hmm. it reveals to you how much you really have
mm-hmm.
from a strength standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. And an ability to push hard. That does make it difficult for some people, although I think anybody can reach it with coaching and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was first using this years ago and I hired some trainers and to put me through it and stuff like that. And I realized, man, I can really push a lot harder, you know, and not only did my workout shorter, I had to do fewer of them within, say, a given week.
Right.
And get better results, so, you know.
Exactly. And it's, you know, before I was under the philosophy of, you know, I had to hit the muscle three times a week, right? And it had to be 15 sets, you know. It was along with, you know, my powerlifting routine, too. So it was just this, you know, huge, long workout that I was doing.
Right.
Did I build muscle like that? Of course I built muscle like
sure.
that. But when I switched to doing this high intensity work, like today, right? So I went and I did a push workout, right? So I started out with pec flies, right? Then I did bench, right? And then I went to shoulders. Then I went to legs. I was in and out of the gym, maybe 45 minutes tops. But let me tell you what, everything was a screaming.
Right. Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. And I've been doing that for the, I don't know, how long have I been starting to do that Menzer approach?
Got to be creeping on a couple months now.
Visibly, I've just gained a lot more muscle.
Oh yeah, it's a big difference actually.
And then strength wise, I've increased strength as well.
Yeah,
right, because my numbers are going up.
Right,
my weight's going up each and every week. Right, I'm always tracking, and that's what I tell people: the difference between, you know, exercise and training. Right, if you're training, you're going to want to track and see what you're doing.
Yes, exactly.
That's why people go, well, why can't you just hit this quick workout with me or whatever? It's like, well, I've kind of got a goal that I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
And I can track that there. Here, I can't.
Exactly.
But anyway, great information today. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. When we get back, we're going to get more into the high-intensity principles. We are back on the Cerebral Edge with my coach, my guest, Coach Pat.
Right on.
And my coach as well.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
So I come and see Pat Mondays too. So he's kind of my coach as well. But we're talking about high intensity training, how you don't need as much time in the gym, and how you can build a great physique without doing 80,000 reps in gym, right?
Yep.
So when we're talking about high intensity training, Pat, what are some of the principles that we get into when we're talking about high intensity?
So let's think of it like this, right? There, the three things you can, with strength training, you know, resistance training, right? Mm-hmm. There's three main parameters you can modify. You can modify the intensity, which we talked about a little bit earlier, which normally seen as load, but we like to think about as effort, right? How much effort are you going? How close are you getting to failure in good form, right? In a given set. So there's intensity. Secondly, there's volume. And thirdly, there's frequency. Now, there are some other, obviously, other kind of parameters, but those are the three main ones that you've got to balance in some way, shape, or form. So if you if you're doing high volume training, so you're doing lots of sets with lots of exercises, you can't also have high intensity because you just don't, you either have to wait an exorbitantly long time between, say, sets and exercises because you're working out so intensely. Or the more normal thing is that you're not actually working out as intense as you think you are, right? And so then we throw frequency in the mix too, right? So for most of us, work on a weekly basis, right? We, you know, from our training to our lives and everything else, right? How many times in a week are you working out overall, and then any particular, body part or motion, you know, push versus pull and things like that. So if volume and or frequency are one or both are high, your intensity can't really be high because you'll start to get into an overtrained state. Vice versa, if you work out of high intensity, you can't do that with high volume and high and or high frequency. So I can't go in and go, hey, I'm just going to do barbell bench press. I'm doing one set to failure every day.
No.
your pecs are going to fall off.
Your shoulders will be screaming.
Right, yeah. So because then there's no time to rest, and because you put the musculature and the nervous system through a more intense bout of the exercise with that high-intensity set, it needs more time to recover and then get into the growing process, right, for both strength and as well as your connective tissue, right, and the muscle. So, those are the three main parameters we're kind of thinking about with that.
That's what I've been kind of running into too before when I was working out a long time, right?
Yeah.
Is that I would notice that, you know, I wouldn't feel fresh my next workout. I'd feel like crap. And then I would hear other people, you know, listen to people like from West Side, right? And they always felt fresh. And I'm like, well, I don't feel very fresh, right?
What's going on?
What's going on here? Well, they had a long recovery period too, which a lot of people don't realize, right? Is that they recovered a long time before they went and did that again. And when you're going high intensity like that, right now, I only train a muscle group one time a week, and that's all I can take.
Right. But I bet you feel like really ready to go and anxious to hit it
By
the time you get next time, right?
Yeah, and that drives your will to want to go to the gym way up.
Right, yeah.
Because you're chomping at the bit to go again.
Which is cool, And so some of the problems we get into, right, with higher volume training, which I've fallen into over the years on and off before too, is because, well, you know, we're the kind of people who like working out. So if you like working out, you kind of want to get in there and do something every day, you know, and you could do something every day, but you can't do something similar every day, obviously, from the, you know, muscular standpoint and things like that. So you've got to change that up and have the right amount of rest, right? And that, and the reality is, it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. So you've got to figure it out for you, what what's the right amount, right? You could start off with doing, let's just say, some type of, like you've been doing a lot of, what, push-pull?
Push-pull, yeah.
Right? So let's say you do a push workout on Monday, and you want to do another push workout on Thursday. You know, in between those, you're doing a pull workout, something like that. Goes okay for a while. Then you start knowing decreasing gains or overtired and things like that. Maybe you need to either push out the time between those two push workouts or go to a once a week, right? And so you've got to always kind of be on top of what we talked about, training logs and right? So you know what you're doing, right? And you brought up a great point earlier about how you get, feel like you're getting stronger every week.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I have noticed that is really reflective of this kind of training, right? So I'll do some warm up sets, especially before something like deadlift or you know, bench press or something like that. I'll do some warm up sets. I'm not doing a lot of reps though.
Right.
I'm just increasing the load a little bit, but they don't take very long, and I'm not taking a long rest at all between them. Right. And then I do the one working heavy set to momentary muscular failure.
Right.
Right. And then what I notice is the same thing. I, you know, if you, then I repeat that the next week and I get one more rep. Awesome.
Great.
But in 4 or 5 weeks, I'm probably going to be increasing load if I'm staying within a certain rep range, you know, for, and, you know, usually it's 8 to 12 often in the, for strength wise, upper body. And then, you know, I, and then if I'm doing deadlift, I'll go a little bit lower rep range, you know, a little bit heavier loads. But then boom, once you hit that top end of rep range you want to be able to hit, then you add load. And so you see that consistent gain.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where a lot of people get messed up too. Not just with frequency, but also tempos, right?
Yes.
On how people aren't fresh and they feel like they're beat up after the gym is because they're throwing the weight around. They think it's about the weight and not really stressing the muscle under the tempo because it sucks.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, right? Yeah. And so keeping a good tempo and again, can be individual, right? The old Nautilus protocol was 2 seconds for the concentric, right? So as the muscle was contracting and getting shorter, and 4 seconds for the eccentric, or the negative and the lowering of it. That's tough, man. You do 8 to 12 reps like that.
Well, you're looking at what, a minute and a half time under tension with that.
Yeah.
So you're straining the muscle for like a minute and a half, and you see some.
And never offloading it.
And never offloading.
Right. So you, because you're not like locking out at the top of a squat or locking out at the top of a leg press or a bench press. You're continually moving. Right. And that keeps that tension on there the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, doing it that way, sometimes I'll even go to a 5 second tempo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my joints have never felt better.
Right.
Than they have the last few months of doing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you remember I was plagued with knee pain.
Oh, yeah.
Plagued with shoulder pain and stuff like that.
Don't forget your low back.
And my low back. What else? Did we mark everything, right?
Yeah. That's good for now.
That's good for now. Yeah. But anyway, doing that, and I've noticed it with my clients, too, when I prescribe them a tempo, right, is they'll sit there, they'll be like, my legs just feel really solid, right? I had one of my online clients message me. She's like, man, my legs feel better than they've ever felt because before she was dealing with her knees popping and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, well, let's cut that, you know, bouncing at the bottom off, and let's do a lot of just really concentrated tempo work. And I had her on the five second protocol, and she thanks me for it.
I bet she does. Yeah.
She loves it.
Yeah.
But she goes, my knees feel great. My shoulder feels awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not damaging that connective tissue because you are loading the muscle and not straining the tendon. I mean, you're straining it in a good way, not a bad way, right?
Right. Yeah. By maintaining that kind of tempo, right, where you're actually controlling it, mm-hmm. Again, it's specific ways of doing things for specific results, right, mm-hmm. for strength mm-hmm. and for building muscle. Mm-hmm. You know, we may train an athlete who wants to jump higher a little bit different. Now, at some point in the training program, is still going to be doing that to build strength and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then you may have to do other things that are more plyometric yep. based, right? Or as you get closer to the season, you start lowering the loads mm-hmm. so they can move them faster, right? As an expression of power
mm-hmm.
versus strength. But it's also important to be able to control things, right? So we always like to come back to the nervous system, how it drives everything, right?
Everything.
Your brain wants to have control and stability mm-hmm. before it's going to give you strength, right? So if you can train yourself to display mm-hmm. that control in what almost feels like slow motion, right? when you're lifting heavy loads,
right?
Then doing things faster actually is easier. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I found. There was a period of time when I did an offshoot of high intensity training called super slow.
Oh yeah. The 10 second tempos,
10 seconds Woo. Up, 10 seconds down. So one repetition was 20 seconds. You have a metronome going, right? So there was no kind of cheating in a sense.
Oh good.
So you're talking, 20 seconds for a rep. Man, 2 minutes mm-hmm. under heavy load. And at first it seems like, oh man, my load or my weight I'm using is going to really go down doing that. When you first start something like that, it does go down a little bit, but mm-hmm. then it actually goes up past. Like I got really strong doing that mm-hmm. because the control necessary to hold loads like that mm-hmm. is, and in that, at that pace is extreme, right?
It's a lot.
It is a lot, right? And so I'll go back to that. Like there were actually years that I lifted like that.
Yeah.
I still like go back to some super slow training like every once in a while in a sense, like mm-hmm. to make sure I can still do that. So that's just another variation of, but that tempo is really important.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of people's egos get in check when they have to go to those tempos. Yeah. That's why a lot of people don't like it, because they're like, well, I got to lower the load.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to be as strong. But if you're listening to Coach Pat over here, nothing can be further from the truth. You're going to gain muscle, you're going to gain strength, and you're going to be a lot safer doing things like high intensity training. So glad to have Coach Pat back on with me again today.
Thanks, man.
It's been really great learning some information on how to get you all stronger and 1% better out there, because 1% every day adds up. This has been the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris. That's Coach Pat.
Boop.
Big fist bump. Stay right strong.
On. This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at cerebraledge1@gmail.com. That's cerebraledge1@gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.